The Ticket.
D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, it's time for us to remember those who have recently passed away by taking a moment to consider how much they mattered, whether they have the credentials to gain a room in the three-bedroom apartment in the sky. That makes it trifecta time here on The Ticket.
Well, let's welcome our seventh Supreme Court Justice. The Invasion Zone Donovan Lewis joins us now.
Don?
Hello, Hardline.
Which, by the way, Donnie, we need to cross-promote here. Tomorrow at 12:30, we will have a meeting of the Picks with Friends Minds to start kicking things around. At the very least, just say hello, welcome each other back to another football season, and try to get things going.
And just listen to Bob just laugh and giggle. I've never seen him so happy.
No.
It's going to be a good season, Donnie. It's going to be a really good season.
I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you, man. It means a lot. Room 608 is done?
Yep. Still trying to fill it with Sam Neill and Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, still open. Okay.
Well, we're going to jump the line as a couple of people have passed away since we last did Trifecta, but we need to make sure that we give this guy proper respect because Don Nelson died. I don't know if you guys heard.
Sadly, I did.
The Ticket's own Don Nelson passed away.
Just this past Sunday.
Yep, a couple days ago. At the age of 86, passed away in Frisco. And Don maybe has lived or did live one of the, top 10 most interesting lives in NBA history. It is a hell of a story that started on a farm in 1940. He grew up on his grandfather's farm in rural Illinois near Sherrard. Never even heard of it before.
Rural
Sherrard. And he told the story that his uncle put up a spokeless bicycle wheel that was nailed to the shed to make a basket that was 11 feet tall.
Well, that's out of Hoosiers.
So he thought that was normal, that all hoops were 11 feet, until he learned that he was actually learning how to shoot on a goal that was a foot too high as a kid. He was a big kid. He's told the story that he attended a one-room sixth grade school that had seven students.
Sixth grade, huh?
No way.
Seven students.
So he made the basketball team?
I think he did pretty well.
I feel like learning on an 11-foot goal would hurt your game more than help it.
Yeah. Because your range would be all screwed up.
I feel like when he started shooting on the 10-foot goal, it always hit like the top of the square.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, it was in the 1940s, and so the level of basketball
you could correct
quality was
on the fly.
It was easy to catch up if you fell behind.
So he obviously got to be the biggest kid in his seven-person school. The farm went under, and then
with the goat.
The farm went under, and then they moved to Rock Island, Illinois, and he went to Rock Island High School, a normal high school. And as a senior, his team went 22-4, and he averaged 20 points a game. Double-digit points and rebounds type of guy, as 6'6", probably was not seen very often in those parts.
You think he played a lot against the brother?
Nope.
No.
I do not.
Based on where Rock Island, Illinois is. Right.
Based on his haircut?
Right on the Iowa border, right next to the Mississippi River.
So he got recruited by Iowa and Wheaton College, and he chose Iowa. And they don't play as freshmen, but his sophomore year, he was really good. He was averaged 16-10. And that continued on. By the time he was a senior, he was 24-11 guy. And all Big Ten. And in the Big Ten at that point, if you want to stereotype, John Havlicek was a Hall of Famer there. Jerry Lucas was. Walt Bellamy. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a black guy.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
It's a new game called There's a Black Guy.
And his dad said, you'll never make it in professional basketball.
And you'll never make it, son.
And he set him up.
Give up now.
Mine did too, by the way.
Well, he set up a job interview for
Don. They're usually right.
Not all dads are wrong on this claim.
He set up a job interview for Don to be a watch repairman.
Oh, God.
Yes. So that was in the cards for him. But he was selected 17th in the 1962 NBA draft by the then Chicago Zephyrs. Who, I don't know much about the old Zephyrs. But he played alongside Walt Bellamy. And he was acquired by, I guess a year later, he was acquired by the Lakers. Which, honestly, until today, I did not know he was a Laker.
I didn't either.
I'm going to agree
with
you.
I would have assumed a career Celtic.
I had no idea.
I did too.
So he played for the Lakers from 63 to 65, and they actually played the Celtics in the finals when he was a Laker.
Wow.
And the Lakers lost to the Celtics, and Nelly averaged 7 points, 5 rebounds, 1.5 assists in 20 minutes per game in that series. And then Red Auerbach liked him, liked the cut of his jib, and... he was a free agent, and Nelson was signed by the Boston Celtics in 1965. And he averaged 10-5 his first season, and they beat the Lakers in the NBA championship. And then they would win the NBA championships again in 68, 69, 74, and 76. And honestly, I did not know he played into the... to 76 either. I thought Nelly's career ended late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he was, and he hit one of the more famous shots in Celtics history. That brick that clanged around the rim like 3 or 4 times. It was like that Kawhi shot, but it was only from like 6 feet. And have you ever seen him shoot? You ever seen the highlights of him shooting? It's the one-handed push shot.
Yeah, his free throws were jacked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious watching him play basketball. And you wonder, a guy like that, and I'm not knocking the old-timers, but, and the different training and all that, I understand that, but you wonder if Nelly would have been like a D1 athlete. You know, if things would have been different, or if he was just a product of the time.
It's a good question.
What are you saying? So you're saying you don't know if he would be able to adapt and like learn today's game, just being the athlete that he was?
I don't know how good of an athlete he was. The videos that you see there, it's so weird watching him play basketball. It looks like he
doesn't look like a fluid athlete.
At all. It just doesn't look like he...
Well, how many of them did back then?
Well, that's true.
Donnie, have you seen his free throw?
I have.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people... I mean, if you saw tons of footage back in the NBA back in those days, you'd see some varying styles of shots and free throws just around. Just so, wasn't as conventional as it is right now.
I like
you
to
did
think
it by any means necessary.
In my head, Don Nelson was always a coach.
Yeah. How long was the gap between the end of his playing career and the start of his head coaching career?
0 years. So he ends in 1976, and Donnie tells the story, his son Donnie, that they were sitting at a Made Right restaurant in Moline, Illinois, and Don, dad, says, I got 3 choices, kids. Sell cars, become an NBA referee, or accept an assistant job under Milwaukee coach Larry Costello.
Yep.
The family voted 5-0 for the Milwaukee job, and then he began his coaching career with the Bucks.
He would have been a great referee, though.
Larry Costello was the Bucks coach when we won it all in 1971.
Bucks buddies!
With a guy named Lou Alcindor.
So imagine this, too. This is where it really freaked me out. So he's there. They start the season in his first year as an assistant coach. So he's just getting his feet wet and just trying to learn the game and whatever and how to be a coach. The Bucks start 3-15, and Larry Costello resigned. And Don Nelson became the head coach. He had coached 18 games in the NBA, and he's named the head coach.
Yep.
And he was there for how long?
We had so much fun. 12 years as head coach.
What a run.
Nellie Ball. We were always the team that finished second. When the Sixers won it all, we lost to them in the Eastern Finals. When the Celtics won it all, we lost to them in the Eastern Finals. The Bucks were so good under Nelly, but not good enough because Dr. J and Larry Bird were running the East.
Yeah, seven straight years, no worse than second in the East, and every year beaten by Bird or Dr. J.
Sucks.
But even then, you could see his basketball mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nelly Ball was big back then. Point forwards, just everything about Nelly was... He's doing it different. And, you know, like the modern-day Brewers were like, yeah, well, we're a humble people. We got to do it a little different to stay competitive. Do whatever you got to do. Go crazy, Nelly. And he would.
So he goes to Golden State. He's there for 8 years. He helps with one of the dream teams, the second dream team in 94. Coaches the Knicks, famously, which he told us was for 50 games or something like that in the mid-90s. And then, of course, he comes here, and he's here from 97 to 05 before things go sideways with Mark Cuban. And goes back to Golden State and then says, guess what? I need to do something else. And something else was, let's go to Hawaii. And I don't need to get into the specifics here in Dallas because we know all those stories. But, man, what a great story that is. A farm. You grew up on a farm without a hoop and you put up an 11-foot goal, and then you're in a school with seven kids total. And somehow that one of those kids makes it to the NBA and becomes one of the two most successful coaches to ever coach in the game.
Yep. That could be made into a movie that you probably wouldn't believe when you saw it on screen.
Yes.
Then he owns Maui.
Yeah.
Has a great head of hair. And
the press conference where he returned, was this it when the Mavs were in the finals and they were asking him what he'd been up to?
No. I think it was Oklahoma City just last year in Indiana, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's play that.
Each of you talk briefly about what you've been doing after basketball. Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So
yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
Who laughed? Who said that was laughing?
It was Jason Richardson and Steven Jackson. I think that was a Golden State like reunion thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that was because Steven Jackson put both his arms up in the air when he said Jason Richardson just laughed.
I've been smoking some pot.
Not all of it. I tried to save some.
What a legend. What an absolute legend. And then he ends up not only in Hawaii, but he's part of one of the most famous poker games that's talked about publicly. Him playing with Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson and Owen Wilson in regular games. Are you kidding me? It's so crazy.
You ready to vote, Donnie?
Oh, I am, yes. And the vote is yes.
Lando?
It's Nelly.
It is Nelly. Deej?
Yep.
Ham.
Yep.
And all three of us
with
a big yes. So he is in to complete the trifecta, the great Don Nelson.
I'll smoke one tonight for Don Nelson.
Thank you, Donnie. As you should. All right, Donnie, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 12:30 on The Invasion.